what would you say was your first defining experience as you refer to yourself as an afterlife paramedic?
Defining experience. Wow.
Where you really knew this is what it means to be an afterlife paramedic.
Oh, gosh. There's so many. There's so many dreams where I lay myself when I go down to sleep, and I'm like a giant radio tuner. A lot of people, you know, think that I specifically go and seek others, you know, in trouble out. Like many other common known psychics, they see ghosts and they go to them, or they speak with them, they communicate with them in the waking reality, they see them in the room. Myself, I've been like a giant radio tuner ever since I can remember. And so I've just had people show up. I just have that frequency where people just zoom in and show up, not unlike the movie The Sixth Sense, the boy who in his waking reality, they just show up. Well, for me, it was during my dream reality. I think probably one of the defining moments was as an experience. My first ones were more experiential before I started helping out. I guess you have to walk before you can run. I remember having a dream where I am plopped into the middle of a movie already in progress, so to speak, because that's what it's like for me. It's like channel surfing when somebody else channel surfs on their television, and then all of a sudden you're right in the middle of a movie and you have seconds, just nanoseconds, to figure out where you are, you know, what you're doing, why you're there, and what's going on. The first defining moment was in my teens when I literally found myself on a highway. And I'm questioning, what the heck am I doing on a highway in the middle of the night when I see the lights of an 18-wheeler coming right for me? And my logical mind, as Monica, is screaming, get out, what, get off the road, what the heck, you know, you're in a dream. And yet I couldn't, and I feel the impact and being killed instantly. And I woke up in a cold sweat, you know, and just, it was unbelievable. It was very traumatic. I mean, it was a horrific nightmare. You know, you check your body, you check your legs, you check your, you know, I'm here, you know, I'm all good. But the defining moment was the next day when I read about it in the newspaper, how a woman mysteriously was killed on the highway in the way that I dreamed it. And that's when it hit home with me that, oh, my gosh, I'm obviously doing something in my dreams where I'm ethereally going about. From there, the experience of experiencing passings from life to death with people started to transfer, and I started to, you know, run, so to speak, and I started helping others out, and I started showing up where I was needed, and I very much call it like astral triage. I mainly get women and children who are in an unfortunate circumstance where they're in dire straits and they're about to, pass from life to death.
I think that's just the kind of thing I'm talking about. Because, I mean, talking to mediums before, I've spoken with many who would, you know, can talk about unusual circumstances or visions or things, but you, because of the afterlife paramedic piece, that's the one, that's what I was trying to focus in on. So would you, where you felt like you were really specifically serving in this role as an afterlife paramedic?
There's been so many defining moments, but the one that I realized I was of service was when I'm dreaming, it's very much like the TV show Medium with the character Alison Dubois. I love that show. It's very similar, where it's cryptic and there's puzzle pieces. And when I dream, I will dream of my house. And many times there will be children or people trying to contact me in my house. And on one particular case, this was a defining moment. There's a little girl and she's outside on the back stoop and I can hear her crying. So in my dream, I go down the stairs and I go out in the back to help her. And she's crying hysterically. And I immediately sit down on the stoop, and I put her on my knee, and something already tells me that she's crossed over. And I just embrace her because she's just in hysterics. She's just beside herself. So even though I wasn't a parent at the time yet, I used the natural instincts of comforting and asking her her name and just trying to calm her down. And simply by holding her on my lap, stroking her face, the hair away from her face, and giving her a hug, you know, consoling hug and reassuring that, you know, it's okay, just settle down, I'm here, you know, tell me what's wrong. She wasn't able to quite tell me what was wrong, but she got herself into a state or a frequency where she was calm. And as soon as she was calm, she disappeared into a ball of twinkling lights and ethereal and just disappeared and dissipated literally right in my arms. And with those twinkling lights, the love and the just intensity of compassion was just overwhelming. And I realized then that I, even though she had already crossed over from life to death, I had been able to be in a position to help her cross from a confused state over into the light. And that was huge. That I definitely would be considered defining.
Right. There's that the story you write about where there were people drowning.
Yes.
I thought that was such an interesting way of understanding your role, as you were kind of going back and forth between people who are going through maybe two levels of awareness of what was happening to them. Can you explain that one?
Are you referring to the one in the bus?
Is that the one where the people that were where the woman was on the shore?
Oh, okay. I know exactly which one you were talking about. Yes, actually, that was quite interesting. I suddenly find myself pulled in on a frequency. There I am.
It's a normal night of sleep, and then boom.
Absolutely. It's a normal night of sleep, and I'm dreaming, and I'm suddenly finding myself in a harbor, and there's a woman there, and she's not communicating with me, or at least I'm not getting the communication of what she's trying to tell me, and she's desperate, and she's very desperate, and she writes a note, and she hands the note to me, and even though she doesn't speak the words, and I don't necessarily read the note, I know that the message is, please find my husband and my daughter. And suddenly she pushes me with both her hands backwards into the water. Now, remember, my dreams are cryptic. I go with them. I don't question them. That's a huge, huge key, is I don't judge and I just go with it. I find myself underwater, and being that it's lucid dreaming, I understand that I can be as such and I'm not going to drown. So I'm searching, and I suddenly find myself in a capsized boat that had overturned. And I know that this woman wants me to find her daughter and her husband. Now, at this point, I don't know that if they've passed over from life to death. So I drastically do all the best that I can, and I search and I search and I swim and I swim, and I immediately come across the father, and I realize he's already passed, but he disappears. As soon as I find him in the capsized boat, in the overturned boat underwater, he disappears, and I know I still have the daughter to find, and so I swim and I swim, and then the daughter, same thing, suddenly disappears, and as soon as I found the daughter, I magically, literally magically find myself back on the shore, and I'm looking at the woman, who's obviously the wife and the mother, reunited with her husband and her daughter, and the gratitude that I can feel from her, even though she doesn't necessarily know how to fully communicate it, or rather, I don't know how to receive it necessarily, I completely get it. And then they all disappeared.